it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
And it's a glorious, a very sunny Saturday afternoon here at Yankee Stadium. Orioles and Yankees coming up again. Game three of a four-game series. While the Yankees have won three straight, they've won six out of seven. The Orioles have lost two straight, and they've lost 9 of 11 of late. So a couple of teams heading in different directions. Yankees looking to play some extra baseball. Orioles right now, the way things are looking, they'll be going home after 162. The skipper, Buck Showalter, and the manager's report right after this.
Rocco Botko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Today's manager's report. Buck, the Bronx still remains a trouble spot here for the club this year. Gabriel Ynoa, 4 1/3 inning, 64 pitches, and he came out. Were you kind of looking at the matchups as he went through the order again and figured that was the right time, that you weren't really comfortable with who was coming up against him there?
Well, obviously, you know, we're trying to win games and develop players at the same time. And obviously there were a lot of hard hit balls off of him that happened to find some fielders. And you really want to get him out there on a positive note statistically and have a Miguel ready. And usually, you know, we pitched up until the last inning pretty well. You know, you hold him with 3 or 4 runs, you like your chances. And I was happy with Gabe. And I'm trying to, you know, thought it gave us a chance to win a game and also kept Gabe engaged in how he feels about himself. And, you know, still a young man, and we're trying to help develop him too.
Wellington Castillo became the latest player here with 20 home runs. I think only 6 clubs in Major League history have had 7 players, 20 or more home runs. It's happened twice with this franchise. Does that not surprise you, just looking at the roster, figuring, okay, this team is really built for power? You figured the home runs were going to come.
Yeah, I mean, you know, scoring runs hasn't been, you know, that's been something we've been okay at. The problem with that, Rock, is that when you face really good pitching, the power doesn't play as much. And that's basically about all we've done here for a couple of days, really 3 or 4 days, is that's the only way we've scored runs. And that's one of the challenges you face when you have so many guys that can hit home runs, is that when you face the real good pitchers, it usually doesn't play that well.
Chris Tillman was warming in the 8th inning, but wasn't needed. With 2 weeks left here in the regular season, what's the plan with him right now? Is it, you figure for now at least, still bullpen? Is there any possibility of back in the rotation? I know it's kind of a matchup-by-matchup thing right now.
Well, you know, you we're trying to put our best forward every day, foot forward every day, and Chris could be that. I would like to get him a start, some starts, but you know, before the year's over, and I think that will present itself. Just trying to he would have come in that game last night if we needed to. Plus, I was trying to shorten up Richard so he's available today, and but I did want him to get hot and almost have like a work day. So he's still very much in the options for us.
Rocco Botko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Today's manager's report. Jeremy Hellickson on the mound this afternoon. So far, what have you seen from him? His last outing, he retired 15 in a row, and then there were the back-to-back home runs. And I know statistically it looks like maybe third time through the order has been a little bit of a challenge for him.
Well, that's a challenge for everybody, not just Jeremy. And you know, for the most part, he's pitched competitively for us. He's had some bumps, starts, just like a lot of our guys have. But, you know, it's all about the changeup and the command. If he commands a fastball, and, you know, he's added a little cutter there, and, you know, he may not throw as hard as he used to, but, you know, he has the moxie to pitch around the trouble spots in order. So I hope that continues today. We'll need it.
And Tanner Scott's here, though not listed among the relievers. Is a plan to officially select his contract tomorrow? And were you kind of eager to take a look at him?
Well, I've seen a lot of him on tape, and I've seen him in person. Obviously, in big league camp, we brought him over some, but he hasn't pitched in about a week off a mound. So Roger and him this morning, late morning, had a pretty extensive work day trying to get him acclimated there. He has to be activated tomorrow. He'll be on the taxi squad, so we'll have to make a roster move, but he'll be active tomorrow.
And J.J. Hardy in the lineup, first time since June 18th. I mean, you're kind of glad to be able to get him out there. I know Tim Beckham's been playing so well, but I know you'd also like to be able to give J.J. some at-bats.
Well, that's why we DH Tim. You know, he's been leading off and doing a pretty good job for us here, obviously. But J.J. needs to get on the field. And as we go forward, you know, we need to know kind of what we can expect him to be able to do physically. And, you know, having Ryan Flaherty here, you know, I want to give Trum and Chris a blow. But and also continue to try to win games and look at some of the young players. It's quite a juggling act, but you know, I think this is important for our club to get JJ out there.
I assume there's nothing new with Jordan Montgomery. You guys have seen him enough times now, same reports.
Yeah, there's no secrets in our division what people are going to do and not do. You know, people are asking me about the hitting last night, and rightfully so. You know, they have real good pitching, Rock, and that's why they are where they are. And every day is a challenge, and we'll get another one today with Montgomery.
Thank you, Buck. It's College Football Saturday. We're going to kick it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
All right, fair catch. I'm ready. Thank you, Rock. Next year, Austin Hayes could be the Orioles' starting right fielder. I said could be. We'll have to wait and see. Well, today, Austin Hayes makes a second consecutive start. Last night, started in center, and today he starts in right field. And by the way, Austin Hayes still looking for his first big league hit. He and Jim Hunter, they got together before the game today. That's on the warm-up show when we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
It is a warm late Saturday afternoon at Yankee Stadium, and up next we'll chat with rookie Austin Hayes on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles and Yankees, game three of this four-game weekend series today in a muggy Bronx, New York, and visiting with Austin Hayes, who gets back-to-back starts here at Yankee Stadium. And let's relive these last couple of weeks. Here, last June you're drafted, you begin the professional odyssey, and all of a sudden now, the following September, you're a big leaguer. Happened pretty fast, didn't it?
Yeah, it happened very fast. Unbelievable. It's great, you know, just being able to experience all this and in such a short amount of time, going from college to you know, becoming comfortable with pro ball and the daily routine of playing every single day. It's a lot different than college and going about taking care of my body throughout the season, and now I'm here in Yankee Stadium.
When this season began and you were assigned to Frederick, was the mindset, let me just go out and have a really good year in A-ball and hope to continue to progress as a pro?
Yeah, exactly. It was just learning to play every day because I didn't get that opportunity last year when I first got drafted. I started playing and then I'd hurt my wrist, so I missed some time. And when I came back, it was kind of monitored. So this was my first opportunity to be able to truly play every day. So I had to learn my routines of what I could do and when I needed to pull back a little bit to take care of my body and keep myself from being too tired. So it's been a lot of fun this season, learning those routines and what I need to do on a daily basis to be successful when the game starts.
What were you thinking when you got off to the great start at Frederick? Here it is, your first full season. And not only were you playing well for the Keys, you began to dominate the Carolina League. I mean, it's not supposed to be that easy, and I know you understand it isn't that easy, but yet you were having that success.
Yeah, I found some success early in the season, and I stuck with those routines that I've been working on, and I was able to just continue to be very consistent as the year went on, and I just kept playing hard, and things kept falling into place for me.
One of the things this organization has done over the past few years is they challenge prospects that they know have a shot to play in the big leagues. And you're another example. Chance Sisko's here. He's another example where you dominated, you mastered the Carolina League. Nothing more to prove there. So let's go up to Bowie, see how you do at AA. Were you at all surprised at how well you fit in at AA? Because if you look at that league, older players, more experienced pitchers, and yet not only did you hit better in AA than you did in single A.
I wouldn't say I'm surprised, just because I have a lot of confidence in myself and you know, I believe that I can go out and have success against anybody. It's still a game of competitive nature, and I feel like throughout the year, the better the competition level got, the better I started to play, and that gave me a lot of confidence in myself.
All right, you've only had a few at-bats at the big league level, but somewhat of a reference point, I guess. What have you noticed with the big league pitching versus what you saw in AA?
I wouldn't say it's been anything that's drastically different so far. I mean, Severino yesterday, that was pretty good to see. I mean, guys, he's got some really good stuff, but it's nothing that seems overwhelming or something that's just totally different than anything I've ever seen. It's still baseball, and there's a pitcher throwing a baseball at you, got a bat trying to hit it.
That's a good phrase, because you're right, it is just baseball. The question is, your first time here, and obviously you're trying to impress for next year, can you just be yourself? You get another start today, can you just go out there and be Austin Hayes, the baseball player, not Austin Hayes, I'm in the big leagues, I'm trying to prove I belong here?
Yeah, I mean that's what everyone's said, the older guys, you know. It's just keep doing what you were doing. Play the game the way you've always played it, and there's no need to change anything. It's what got you here, and you know, it's ultimately what will be able to help you have success here if you can just be yourself.
All right, I want to ask you about your arm because we heard about this. Gary Kendall, in fact, told us about how well you throw from the outfield. Early in the game, you were tested. Fly ball to the warning track, bluff going from first to see your arm, and you throw an absolute P to Tim Beckham on the bag. Then late in the game, you nearly get a runner on a plate at a sack fly, and Gardner turned around and looked at you like, who the heck is that out there, and what about that arm? Has that always been a strength of yours?
I always had good carry on my ball, but I didn't start having good arm strength until I would say my freshman year of college. When I got to college and I started to get a little bit bigger and stronger, the arm strength came along with the backspin that I had. So it's been a good combination for me over the years to be able to combine those two together.
And in this organization that really prides itself on always having good defensive clubs, it's a part of the game that you really not only should work on, you need to work on, because if not, you may not be here. And it's good to see that you understand that.
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in my defense. I know Pete Rose said it, that hitting and defense are two completely different entities. So when I'm in here and I'm working on my bat and on my offensive side of the game, then I work just as hard on the defensive side as well. I take equal pride in both of them.
And I'm sure you're more than a bit anxious. Maybe that's the wrong word. Maybe it's the right word about that first hit. Maybe it comes today.
Yeah, maybe it will. We'll see. I'm just going to stick with the process, try to get a good pitch to hit, put a good swing on it.
Well, Austin Hayes, so far as a big leaguer, is 0-7, but he's already appeared in six games. So today his seventh game, and he's making his third big league start and his second consecutive start. Last night, he gave Adam Jones a night off in center field, started the game in center field, then moved to right, and today he makes the start in right field. Muggy afternoon in New York, O's and Yankees, and stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
Hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back at Yankee Stadium. Let's see now. The Orioles and the Yankees, they played each other 18 times. And in those 18 games, the Yankees have now scored 150 runs. So they're averaging against the Orioles this season over 8 runs a game. And in the games here at Yankee Stadium, they're averaging over 11 runs a game against the Orioles. This season, the Orioles have allowed more runs against the Yankees than they ever have against any opponent in the history of the Baltimore Orioles. Well, the Yankees win this one by a score of 9-3, and it was 9-0 until the very top of the ninth inning. Well, turned out the Yankees, in the bottom half of inning number 3 against Jeremy Hellickson, well, with 2 outs and the bases empty, Chase Headley got a base on balls. And then Aaron Judge came up, and he got a base on balls with 2 outs. And so with 2 walks, that's when D.D. Gregorius came up to hit, and that's when the Yankees would strike.
Headley walked on 5 pitches, Judge walked on 4, and now Gregorius, 1-0. So 9 of the last 10 pitches from Hellickson have been balls. Here's the 1-0 pitch, swinging a high fly ball to right. Back on it is Austin Hayes, and that ball is gone. Gregorius hits it out. The 2 walks come back to bite Hellickson, and the Yankees grab a 3-0 lead in the third.
There's nothing like a hanging changeup, and that's where he threw him there. A little changeup over the outer one-third. And so Gregorius had plenty of time to turn on it and find the seats in right field. It turned out the Yankees had gone ahead to stay. Then came the fourth inning when Ellsbury began the inning with a double, and then Frazier came up to hit, and he got a base on balls. So there's that walk again. So with 2 on and nobody out, that's when Greg Bird came up to hit, and guess what? Hellickson hung another changeup.
And the 2-2 pitch, swinging a high fly, deep right. That ball's going to go way back in the second deck. And there is another 3-run homer. And the Yankees now lead it 6-0 in the fourth.
Just like that, a couple of 3-run home runs. But by then, the Orioles had had a moment. In fact, one individual had had a moment, and it was Austin Hayes in the top of inning number 3. With 1 out and the bases empty, Austin Hayes, who had begun the game 0-7 in his young major league career. But in the third, he had a moment that he will never forget.
2-2 on Hayes. And the pitch, swinging a line drive. Base hit center field for Austin Hayes. And there's number 1. A solid line drive up the middle.
So there it is. His first major league hit. And then he flied out. And then he came up in the seventh inning, got a base on balls. His first major league walk. And then with a man aboard in the ninth inning, Well, Austin Hayes had an even bigger moment. Shreve again. He'll check JJ. Now comes home. And there's a fly ball out toward right center. Pretty wild hit. This ball is way back there. Oh, yes. Austin Hayes goes opposite field at Yankee Stadium. His first Major League home run. How about that? How about that? He hit it into the seats in right center. How about that? Austin Hayes, big day for him. But for the Orioles, a forgetful day. They get beat 9-3. Jim Hunter, he's got Buck Showalter and some other postgame details when we continue at Yankee Stadium on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back at Yankee Stadium, where the Yankees win it 9-3. Two three-run home runs, the big blows in this game. Gregorius gave New York a 3-0 lead. Bird a three-run shot for a 6-0 lead. So the Yankees now 82-66. They are assured of another winning season as they continue to that amazing feat now, 25 consecutive winning seasons. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Post-game comments, Gary Thorne with Buck Showalter.
Buck, Jeremy Hellickson, third inning for some reason seems to run into a problem in games. Anything you're noticing about what goes on there?
Well, he's been a little short with his stuff, you know, and the changeup fastball velocity kind of creeping together. He was defending himself with the changeup, and, you know, he was okay there. And then I think they felt like, you know, he wasn't commanding the fastball enough. They started sitting on it a little bit, and, you know, we thought he was having a little back issue. He said he had the one pitch he threw to Gardner, and then he felt fine after that. So I think it was more the Yankees and lack of real crisp stuff.
They have really put up the numbers here, especially at Yankee Stadium, inexplicably, I guess. I mean, they're good, but I don't. That's a lot of runs.
We're not pitching well. You know, you throw the balls where we are with some of the stuff that we're featuring right now, they're going to end up in the bleachers. The walks beforehand don't help any.
Kids are giving you something to look at, though, are playing pretty well and getting some firsts with home runs and hits.
You know, as difficult it is to watch us, the Orioles, do anything that's not in a winning cause, you do need to step back and realize it's a huge moment for Austin and for Chance. So, you know, give them that. And it's okay to feel great about that as far as a young man's dream and getting a chance to do it and do it in a historic, not a historic place, this building, but there's a lot of background.
And for the veteran, too, kind of a big day for him. Hardy came back looking like he hadn't missed anything.
Well, it was a reminder to us what we've been missing. You know, he's one of the best shortstops that he joins some elite group with the Orioles, and I think people need to remember that as such. And you could tell he felt good physically, first time in a long time, moving around, and kind of reminded us of some plays that we used to take for granted.
CC, not starting tomorrow. You had an inkling of that, I take it, before the game, and you get to see Sonny Gray?
Yeah, our advanced scout, Ben Worthen and Mike Silverman, they're real good. They told me about 3 days ago, so it wasn't any surprise to us.
All right. Thanks, Skip.
Okay, thank you.
So post-game comments are Buck Showalter as the Orioles lose again to the Yankees by a final of 9-3. So the Yankees are now 12-6 against the Orioles in the season series with one game to go tomorrow.